Hello and welcome to the Paragraph of Despair show.
Hello.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Anton.
And today, wait, do I have to explain the show every time?
It's a good idea.
All right, well, we have six segments for you. Both of us lead three of them. Meanwhile, we play a game throughout the whole thing where we just make up reasons to give each other points. And right now, Anton's probably winning, so it's all stupid anyways.
What are the rules? Do you have to announce the points at the beginning of the episode?
The rules, the general rules. Wait, is that a rule that we have to announce?
Yeah, it's in the general rules at the bottom of the plan.
What if I don't follow the rules? Do I get docked points?
We get a new co-host for the show.
He fires me mid-episode. Or beginning of episode. Anton's winning 14-11. Here are the rules. Points are a currency and can be traded.
We haven't done that yet.
Rules must be unanimously agreed upon. You can only get points for rules after the rule is created. No grandfathering. Each episode, we announce the points. All right, so it is in the rules. Points reset every quarter, or in this case, we're just going to wait till the end of the year.
Yeah.
And we'll do a big event at the end of the year to see how many points Anton has.
Yeah.
I mean, there's...
You're close in points.
I mean, there's a bunch of ways we can get points. We have this whole... We just need to announce the general rules, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's worth going into the detailed points.
All right. Well, then, in that case, let's get into the first segment.
Yeah!
Exciting, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Segments. This is my segment. I guess the last 2 weeks, we ventured on a new thing to do. Mostly you. I've only done this twice now.
Yeah.
Where we've streamed on Twitch.
Yep.
So this segment's called Twitch Talk.
Oh, cool.
We're going to talk about Twitch. We're going to talk about... I'm going to ask you about your Twitch live streams.
Okay.
I'll tell you about my two... but I'll also probably wait till we talk about the later segment, The Witness, which is what I streamed. So
yep,
that's I won't talk too much about my end of it. But I did want to ask you, so you started to live stream your morning code workings.
Yes.
How's that going?
It's been a revelation. It's changed my life.
It sounds really good. It's completely changed your life. So, from what I've been seeing is most mornings, you jump on Twitch, and you're working on this game, E Pluribus, and it's kind of just you talking yourself through making it.
Yeah, I try to.
Very entertaining stuff.
Yeah.
So, what have you, like, what was the big, like... Oh, wow. This is revelation. This has changed everything.
Well, so a brief background in E Pluribus DM might help with this. E Pluribus DM is the project title for the game I'm working on. It may not be the final game title. Publishing it through Paragraph Despair, this group that we have, this show that we have.
Right.
Because the whole point of this show, actually, was to drum up publicity for our own personal projects or group projects that we work on together.
Yeah.
But E Pluribus DM is, the idea of it is, we have Twitch and you have audience members and they can be in chat and all that, but Twitch has this API and there's some neat stuff you could do to have much higher audience participation in streams. So I got thinking, what if I made a game that was built with Twitch in mind, specifically designed for Twitch? 'Cause I love... new mediums. I love taking advantage of something afforded by a new technology or way of doing things and exploring, creating something that you can only do in that medium. So that's what I'm doing with E Pluribus DM.
Cool.
And the idea of the game is you have a bunch of audience members. They design a level for the streamer to play, and they have to do it really fast with low collaboration. All that being said, I don't know that much about Twitch. I've never streamed anything on it. I've watched stuff on Switch here and there. It's not really my cup of tea, and that's partly why I feel like audience participation would be more interesting, because me just watching someone stream isn't that interesting to me.
Okay.
So I just wanted, long story short, to understand more about Twitch, so I started streaming myself.
I think, how is it, like, affected, but, like, even just regard that, like, how was it to use Twitch for the first time? Like, any issues? What do you think of, like, how it works? Like, what do you think?
It was very easy to set up. I already had the Twitch account because I've watched a stream here or there. And then if you want to set up a stream, they just recommend you download their tools or OBS. You download it. There's a button.
Yeah.
You log in with Twitch and you click start stream and you're streaming.
Did you do your key, or did you link the account by logging in?
I linked the account, so it's tied to my Twitch account.
All right. I forgot my Twitch password, so I had to do the key.
Oh, my gosh.
I forget all my passwords.
Me too. I forgot the password to my password manager, so I'm screwed.
Oh, that's bad. That's why I don't have one.
Yeah, I know. It's really bad.
I started one, and I put one password in it, and then I forgot the password to the password manager.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm not that invested, so.
It's good.
I'll just reset the password every time. Anyways, but like, so I found it really easy to set up.
Yep.
It did take me a minute to figure out, like, because I mean, I guess it was maybe a little different. Like, well, you do the, you screen share while also, you know, you're in a little corner. So it took me like 5-10 minutes to realize I have to like have two separate things, and then I downscale my video to the right corner or something. And then, it took me a minute to kind of like figure out a few things in there. And then also the audio, like my game audio is really loud.
Right.
So any poor soul that stumbled in my first stream probably just heard nothing but the witness audio and not me. But I thought it works pretty easily, but like I using it for me, I was like, is this working right now? I can't even tell. Like I can kind of, but like it doesn't feel like. And then another thing is, I think you definitely need like a second monitor for it.
Yes, that helps a lot.
Or at least a big monitor. Like I have just a 21-inch monitor, and I'm like full screening the game, but like I can't really monitor myself or like the OBS software or the Twitch. And like I pulled up Twitch on the iPad, and like you would send messages, but they came in as whispers, which was apparently just private messages.
Yeah, that was on me because I was sending you DMs without realizing it.
Oh, okay. And then there was like you can kind of see you could see the chat, but it kept saying nothing was in there, but there was. Like that's just through the iPad.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, the app was weird. I don't know, but I mean, it was pretty easy to kind of get around it.
That's a good idea. I should try setting up the iPad, because when I do it with OBS, anytime I click away into a different window, it hides the chat, and I don't know how to make it stick around. I have no idea what I'm doing wrong there.
Yeah, it's a little like even the stream managing aspect of the site like doesn't feel laid out to me naturally, like how I would want it. I mean, I can find what I need, but it doesn't give me a sense of like, oh, I have everything set up correctly.
Got it.
I don't know.
Well, I had a better experience, I think.
I've only done it twice. Yeah. You've been doing it most mornings for an hour and a half. Aside from just using Twitch, what have you found has improved just using it as a way to get work done? Because that's kind of the point of your live streams, is it's kind of like you do work throughout it. Like you're not, you know, you kind of talk through it.
Yep.
Has that just benefited your overall like work?
It's changed my life. I would do almost all work with people able to watch. It's like when you're programming, I always say programming is an exercise in frustration, and like the best engineers are just people who can manage being constantly frustrated, because stuff when you're getting started out just never works. And as you get better and better at it, it starts to work and you start to like understand how things operate and less issues. But I would get to points when I was working on a game where I'd get stuck on how to design the software to do something I wanted to do. And I would just kind of like not come back to it. Because the idea of going back to it was frustrating and not exciting anymore. So I was thinking, if I'm putting it up for the audience, anytime I get stuck, I'll just talk through what I'm doing. And I just talk through what I'm doing the whole time. I go slower as a result than I would otherwise, but I am always aware exactly of what I'm trying to do. I don't get stuck. I'm always moving. And I get one, maybe two viewers, you and a guy I work with, I think has watched at least once. But that's not why I'm doing it. It's kind of a forcing function to have me, discuss everything. And, they call it
makes you more self-aware of the work that you're doing.
Yes.
Do you feel like you're in the moment more? Like you're not just, you don't get distracted. You're like, you're really paying attention to what you're trying to do.
Exactly.
That's a good way. I guess you could do anything on Twitch. A lot of people stream games. I mean, it is a really good idea if you want to get work done.
Yep. And somebody at work, I was telling them I did this, and they were like, oh, isn't that, like, really narcissistic? And what are you just trying to show off? Or why are you so egotistical? And there's definitely a small amount of that.
They said that to you?
Yeah.
They called you an egomaniac for streaming on Twitch?
Yes. Also, I carry a hand mirror with me at all times. I think everybody is to a degree. Otherwise,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. And I like performing.
I think certain people should be more egotistical.
Is that like a slight at me? You think I'm not egotistical?
No. I think it's like a lot of the space out there is really filled up by a lot of kind of vain people with confidence.
Yeah.
So I think people need to assert themselves in the space more, that are actually probably more interesting to watch and actually like more considerate of their audiences.
Probably.
So like I think other people should be, you know, streaming and trying to gather audiences than like most of what's out there.
Yeah.
But that's a different conversation.
So I guess whether people watch it or not, it's a lot of fun for me. And it just reminds me of when you're a kid and you're like play acting through something.
Right.
I'm play acting what I do already, which is programming.
It's also kind of nice that like, I like the idea that no one's really watching, but someone could.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even if you just stumble on it for like a second, like I've had one or two people stumble. Like I was only streaming twice for an hour.
Oh, you might have had more.
Yeah, people stumble. Like, you know, I think that's kind of cool that people can just kind of walk in and see what you're doing and even just leave.
Well, I noticed it didn't look like the stream knew that you were playing The Witness. It just said that you were doing games and demos.
Oh, interesting.
Like you, it looked like
that was another thing. Is like the title. Like I had it set up the first stream, but you can hit just stream now. But like I don't know where you edit that for each stream. I gotta look into it more. I kind of really just threw it together.
The benefit of that is if somebody's looking specifically to watch someone play The Witness, they could find you more easily.
Oh yeah, good point.
Since you're probably relatively unknown, but the game is known.
That's a good point. Well, that's Twitch Talk. It's changing our lives.
Yep. It's fun.
Couple 30-year-olds finding out about Twitch.
Yeah. I'm closer to 40 than 30 now.
Yeah.
And you will be soon, too.
Depends. Well, we'll talk about that in the next segment.
Yes. That's a good segue. So this next segment that I'm hosting is called Getting Deep. The topic is, are you afraid of death? So...
Why do you pick these topics? Why do you do this?
I wrote down a list of
ideas. I feel like you got pretty into it last episode, talking about very kind of deep topics.
Oh, what was it? What are you looking forward to?
Mm-hmm.
Which you interpreted as deep, and I thought you were just going to say.
I'm interpret this completely different way, too.
Okay.
But anyways, go ahead.
So I've got a long list of backup podcast segment ideas, and this is in my list, and I haven't done it yet. And last podcast, we were all about being positive, and I think we should be going forward.
Yeah, we got a lot of good feedback from that. In fact, we were encouraged to stay positive.
Yeah. A few more people have been listening to the podcast, and they like it, and they think it's funny, so maybe being positive is the way to do that.
All right.
Are you afraid of death? Doesn't need to be a negative thing. I think it's just interesting. Mm-hmm. Everything comes to an end that we know of so far.
Right.
So what do you think happens when you die?
I mean, I think nothing really particular. Like, I mean, to you individually,
mm-hmm.
I mean, certain things happen. Like, you know, they probably got to reserve the funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
They got to, like, dress you up a little.
And, yep.
You got to order the catering or, like, have people cook.
Yeah.
You know, logistical things.
Keanu Reeves said, yours is very literal, and I appreciate it. But I don't know why this happened. On, I think, Stephen Colbert's show, he asked Keanu Reeves, what do you think happens when you die? And Keanu Reeves said, the people who love you will miss you very much. And, like,
yeah,
it's really,
I think that's
super poignant and very sad.
That's, I feel that whole, yeah, 100%.
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what happens to you.
Like, are you, like, you're thinking in terms of afterlife.
Yeah, or if there is an afterlife.
I know. So, interesting timing of this. Now I'm going to go on a rant.
Oh, man.
Last night I watched Children of Men.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a good movie.
I haven't seen it since theaters, which is 2006. I saw the movie in the theaters. I really liked it then. Still holds up. I think it's a really great movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's... So, if you don't know what the movie is, it's basically like 20 years into the future, and the world can't have babies. No one is fertile. No one can make babies. Then the youngest person on the planet dies. And most of the world has been thrown into chaos, with London, with England being one of the more stable regions of the world. And then with that, there's like a big refugee crisis, like a lot of people trying to get into England. But it's also like kind of have this like feeling of dread all around. Like everyone's kind of just, it's depressed because they all know that the world, not just themselves, but like the world's dying.
Yeah. More humankind would be, people would be dead.
Like there's a little... So, like, people can kind of be afraid of, you know, their own death, but you also know that the world kind of carries on, too. And
yeah.
At least some of that is comforting. People put that comfort in, you know, their next of kin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just how you kind of relate to the world, which gets worse when you know that there is no future. So, but anyways, there's one part where, like, he had to ask, I think, his brother, who's, like, an art curator.
Mm-hmm.
for like a pass to this one region so they can get to the boat or whatever. And basically his job is to get, like, kind of collect, curate, and like document all the art in the world before the world, before everyone is, you know, dead, because there's no babies being made. And then he asks, Clive Owen asks, like, how do you do it? Like, what are you, you're getting things together in like art, and you're getting, you're creating all this, and you're like getting it ready for no one. No one's going to be able to see it. It's just going to be. And then his, and then his simple response is, I just don't think about it. And I think that's, like, I think people have a lot of that kind of, that's how they kind of treat despair. Either knowing that things will end,
like paragraph like,
why
despair.
Do you do it? Or if, like, you know, or even if you think of, like, the state of the world is in such turmoil, how do you create and go on with yourself? But, like, you kind of put that meaning in the things that you do, so you just kind of don't think about it.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. That's kind of my attitude, I think.
So your answer to the question...
I'm not afraid of death, is I just try not to think about it.
Got it. So when I ask a question, what do you think happens when you die? Your answer is, I don't think about it.
Yeah.
So you don't even
Well, no, because the name of the segment is, are you afraid of death? So I know you ask, like, what do you think happens when I die? But that's not really the question of the segment.
Yeah, but I haven't got to go step by step through the segment.
Well, that was, that's my answer for everything in the segment.
Don't think about it. You're very zen.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a very optimistic movie. Children, I feel like I have a pretty optimistic take on it, especially for, you know, being agnostic or atheist.
Sure.
Like, you know, I hope for the best.
Right. So you don't really think about death, so it doesn't really bother you. You're not afraid of it. It's just, it doesn't even come to mind.
I just, yeah, I just try not to think about it.
Hmm.
Isn't that how we all deal?
It's true. I mean, if you had to think about everything that's going to go wrong or change stuff all the time, you probably wouldn't get much done.
I'm a pretty anxious person. I think about the worst thing that can go wrong all the time. It's like one of my big... Like, that's like, oops, I probably shouldn't do that, because that ruins everybody's day.
Right. It's very thoughtful.
So why am I going to tack on this big question? Like, well, I can't be anxious about this. Otherwise, we don't do anything. Why get out of bed in the morning?
So you, like, never even thought about death at all?
I've thought about it.
Okay.
I'm sure everyone's thought about it.
How often, but how, like, many times a day do you think about
it? I'm thinking... How many times a day? I don't. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you can't think about it every day.
Yeah, so honestly, I don't really, like, think about it that much either.
Yeah. I like your one question on our notes here. Can you ask that?
Does it bother you?
I just think that's like, hey, death, does it bother you? I'm kind of pissed off about that whole death. Like, what?
It's kind of messed up. Like,
no, when you, I get it.
When you have I'm kids,
I don't think anybody's happy about it.
When you have a family or introduce somebody to the world, you're basically saying, hey, I'm setting you up for this destination.
Right.
That you're but not going, like, to get out of.
So, like, you're saying the idea of procreating in the first place is just setting someone up for a death sentence.
Yeah.
You're, I mean, killing as you create.
The number one leading cause of death is life.
That's true.
Can't be dead if you never existed.
Good point.
I don't know what I'm getting at there.
Yeah, what are you getting at?
does it bother you? Yeah, like, does it make you angry, I guess? You and I are probably so far away from having to even worry about it on a like a statistical level. Yeah. Yeah. Knock on wood. But it's like, I wonder if I would be frustrated, I guess, if it was facing me.
There's a funny, so I'm watching the new Curb Your Enthusiasm season, and there's a funny bit where they're at the dinner table and they're, you know, would you take advice from, you know, everyone talks about like, oh, the good advice to get is from someone with stage 4 cancer.
Hmm.
And then Larry's like, I'm not taking stage 3 advice. They're not there yet.
That was in Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Interesting. I guess the reason
it probably does change your, I mean, they say that about near-death experiences, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people that, you know, have come close probably have a different view on things.
Yeah, I saw this funny cartoon recently where this guy was told, live every day like it's your last, and then every frame of the comic is him just looking real miserable. And like,
that's pretty good.
I think that's what I would, like, I get the saying is, like, don't wait.
Live.
Don't wait on stuff.
Yeah. This is a bummer.
It is getting really be a bummer. And honestly, I've never really been bothered by talking about it because no one ever wants to talk about it with me. But now you have to talk about it because it's a segment on this list.
I think we should stay positive. You know, everyone's got, you know, people.
Mm-hmm.
That they care about, you know.
If you could live forever, would you?
I don't know. Like vampire style?
Well, maybe not with the biting of people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, after a while, though, it's like, what would you do?
I mean, there's always new TV.
That's true. I guess you get kind of mesmerized by the future and how, like, things change. So you really have a new setting
mm-hmm.
for each decade of your life. You know, like, I'm sure our 40s and 50s will be kind of, like, interesting because we'll have, like, really cool tech, but, like, a really shitty, like, landscape or world. But, like, if we lived to be, like, 140, we would probably be like, whoa, this is nuts. Look at all this. Like, I could read this book in 3 minutes.
Yeah. If we could live forever, would you live your life any different than you are now?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. I asked that as...
Save for retirement.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That assumes, like,
maybe
you can
would,
run out of food and still be kinda, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I asked a lady that I worked with once, what would you do if you could live forever? Because I was thinking you would just take your time and you wouldn't really accomplish anything. You'd be like, I'll get to it later. That's what I would think I would do, maybe.
You'd be a very interesting coworker to work with.
Maybe
you're just standing by the coffee machine going, so what if you'd live forever?
That's basically what happened. But her answer was she would do everything, that she would just like go try to learn everything.
You know, you have these questions, like, it's kind of like, what would you do if you win the lottery, or like,
yeah,
I don't know, like, they're hypotheticals that, like, I don't know if that really reveals anything about someone or if it would actually be true to what they would actually do.
Yep. It's all self-report.
Right.
Well, that's the end of that segment. That was fun.
You know, it was a really downer of a topic, but I think we kind of prevailed and we stayed positive about it.
Yeah. We did it. We stayed positive.
The moral
that.
Of the story is just don't think about it.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's mostly what I do, is I just don't, just, I can't even conceptualize it, so I don't think about it.
But thanks for reminding me. I mean, I really appreciate
No that. Problem. And you're welcome, audience, for thinking through this.
Yeah. All right, next segment. I think it would be fun. This segment is going to be another all hands. We've only done with this once, where I did an all hands, which is a segment about kind of workplace culture and life. We both kind of work at startups at the moment. So last segment we did this was about email signatures, where I had some really good ones. I got a couple topics today. Since things are kind of getting back, I mean, people, like, you've been going back to the office.
Yep.
More regularly than before.
Mm-hmm.
Probably within the last, 2 months? 3 months?
No, I think in spring maybe, or even last fall possibly, they opened. I don't remember when they reopened.
Oh, wow.
It might have been summer. I'm not sure.
Yeah, ours did. I only started with the company in August, but they had kind of done like a optional, like, hey, you can come in if you want in July or June.
Or that's right, probably when it was.
July. And then they did like an official 2 days a week in October.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I, you know, not everyone's doing.
We're not doing that.
Because it's like the people that have to report that is the line managers, and they're not even coming in. So it's
mm-hmm.
if managers don't want to come in, then the employees don't have to come in. But I think because, they would be essentially ratting on themselves. But
yeah.
So nothing's like people come in more, but like it's usually around 1 day a week. But it is pretty regular now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I go in a lot pretty much every day. But that's because when people don't want to come in on Mondays and Fridays, well, also I'm an office manager, but no one's really there. It's kind of great. And it's in a WeWork. So it's kind of like a nice place to just kind of hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Free coffee. And then more importantly, snacks. I did want to talk about office stacks, but before that, for COVID policies, I was wondering, did your company implement any kind of interesting or odd policies or to protocol, and have they worked, or do you think they just kind of didn't really work but it was mostly for show?
So we have a soft reopening, and you can go in as long as you're vaccinated. And then anytime we have a big get-together, we require people to be tested just prior to the event.
Are these get-togethers mandatory?
No, nothing has been mandatory. In fact, they've even loosened it up a bit, and we've hired a few people that are just fully remote since the pandemic. I don't know what the policy will be in the longer term, but so far I think it's...
Oh, what was that?
Something
ghost?
Fell. I guess it was a ghost. It's probably coming to get me after segment number two. the question is, nothing's mandatory. Everything's open. I like going in. I don't go in every day, but I try to go in on the days that other people are there, and it's nice to see them. Really great for brainstorming.
Yeah. So do you actually, having done the work remotely and gone in, you know, people have said there's a difference. Mm-hmm. People are kind of adamant about not going in at all.
Yep.
Some people are the opposite.
Yeah.
Which side do you kind of land, or is it right in the middle?
I try to go in the majority of the days of the week because I like it. I like the separation that when I leave, the day's over. Mm-hmm. I'm more likely to get exercise.
Like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also like being able to just stay home whenever, which is kind of what the office policy was before anyway. It was just kind of work from home whenever you want.
Right.
But for sure, more people were in the office than working from home, and it's the opposite case now.
Mm. Okay. Were there any kind of like around the office, like safety things put into place? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, it's funny. There was a lot of signs put up very early in the pandemic when they thought that things were going to clear up.
Like, we shelved the opening last year.
But like, it's fun. It's kind of like going back in time 2 years ago, because these signs, I don't know if this is still the same CDC guidelines, but they're like, wash your hands for 20 seconds, and they have all these different song lyrics that are 20 seconds long to like remind you.
Well, we don't have those, but yeah, I know what you mean. But I still think it's good to wash your hands.
I guess.
Were you so you didn't wash your hands pre-pandemic?
I'd never washed my hands once. And now all the people are telling me to do it. I don't know what you're supposed to do.
We had one policy. I think this is, I don't know if it's funny or if it's just like a way of, maybe it's, I don't even know if it's a cultural thing, because I think companies in America have done it. So like our startup is kind of based in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's where like the bulk of the workers are. And then our New York office is very small. It's like less than 30 people. So like there'll just be things like, hey, like I have to get ready for this office, but like we don't have the scale of people that's as important.
Yep.
But one thing they did was I had to purchase lanyards for the office. Uh-huh. Three colors, one red, one yellow, one green, you know, kind of like a stoplight.
Okay.
And it's like you can wear these lanyards to like indicate to other people around the office how comfortable you are with like contact and closeness. Like, I think like green is like, I'm okay with hugs or something.
Interesting.
And I guess people in the UK use them, but I set them out for the New York office. No one picked them up.
Well, is this for specifically a COVID thing or just like an in general in Britain thing? That's how you signal to people you like being
touched. This was a COVID thing.
Okay.
No one really, I think, took to it here. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, you know, I don't want you hugging me pre-COVID.
On the, like, what I like to do, I'll put peanut butter all over my hands, and that's my signal. I don't want to be hugged.
I like the Dimitri Martin joke where it's like, if you don't want that person to sit next to you on the bus, just start smelling your hands.
That's really good advice, actually. Yeah. And it comes off as more polite than putting your bag on the seat.
Right. Because I don't think anyone would want to sit next to, like, what did that guy put his hands in?
That's a good idea.
Anyways, to the actual topic of all hands, I just thought I'd get your... I just like hearing other people's office experience return to office. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
What kind of office snacks do you like?
Nuts.
So, I made a mistake. I ordered nuts for the office.
But people are allergic?
Almonds. No. I mean, I got almonds. I got raw almonds. And I didn't think of anything of it. And I'm like, why are these almonds like soft and like weird?
Mm-hmm.
And like,
why does everybody hate me now?
I didn't like, I thought almonds were just almonds. Like, I just didn't get roasted almonds. And now I feel like an idiot. I put these almonds out for people to eat.
Amateur.
Yeah. Anyways, I have some right here.
What, you took them, them? Stole them?
Well, yeah, I took them home. Like, it was for my trip home. I'll take a snack. Counts. You can take a snack to go. That's the point.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just wasn't good. Anyways, what are some of your favorite office snacks?
I do like mixed nuts, roasted, sometimes salted, but not usually. At our office, the like, I think he's office manager and or office chef. He cooks a lot of stuff and it's really good. He makes hard-boiled eggs perfectly every day. Puts fruit out and stuff. Yeah, it's really nice morning spread. Berries.
Yeah, I don't do any cooking for anybody.
Pineapples. Yeah. So I like the hard-boiled eggs. And we used to have LaCroix in the old office, but we don't anymore. Just water everywhere now.
Like bottled water or just like
just
water?
There's a filtered tap, and then they also fill a bunch of glass bottles around the office with just water that you can pour when you need it.
All right. So like what is that your company's go to when you have like kind of in office events, or is it different every time?
They order food out from a variety of places, like pizza and stuff.
Yeah, it's about standard.
Oh, there was really good. This whole week has been a bunch of, because we did planning days for 2 days, so they had free lunch each day and cocktail hour snacks, and then Thursday was our office Thanksgiving, so it's been a whole bunch of eating at the office this week.
Oh, that's good.
And they had these, like, I don't know if it's pickled or it was some kind of like roasted red pepper thing. It was amazing. I loved it. I might even sneak back into the office because I have next week off just to go get more of those.
I don't think you could do that because then they ask you about work.
Well, I'll have a mustache on.
All right. aside from category of snacks, nuts, what about category chips?
We used to do the Air Crisps or whatever. What is that? Air Pop Chips? The ones you
pop
like?
Pop Chips, yeah. Popcorners?
Popcorners. Okay, I think that's what
we
had.
I love popcorners, but I never ordered them. I did for my last office.
Oh, gotcha. What do you order at your current office for snacks?
I get popcorn.
Like popcorn?
Either Skinny Pop or like this other brand that's kind of along the lines of that.
Like in a bag or you got to put in the microwave?
Bagged. Individual bag.
That's good because that's a lot of work.
Yeah, I'll get like the white cheddar kind and then regular. They like these cheddar bunnies. They're kind of just basically like goldfish, but they're bunnies.
Oh.
Just a different brand.
People get grossed out by fish.
Yeah, they wrote, you got to be careful when you order snacks because it has to say organic on it because the company doesn't want to look like they're giving you junk food to like.
Yeah, my company's
like
that too.
Bog you down.
Yep.
So it's like they want to have the more, like that's why we get like popcorn and nuts and snacks that are on the healthier side. But you got to throw in a treat.
Yeah.
What's your treat?
At my office or I get to pick?
Oh, at the office.
I don't know. The fruit's kind of a treat. Like they have like these protein bars that are real sugary that I don't like too much.
Are they Lar bars? Lars bars?
No, it's like Kashi or something. I don't remember what it is.
I like to get the Kind bars.
Yeah, those are good. But maybe too good.
That was a ways ago. Yeah. All right. I learned a lot about snacks.
Yep. Hopefully everybody's hungry for snacks now.
I don't know. I think snacks are important. Gotta have good snacks.
Yeah, why go to the office otherwise?
I learned, so did you guys have Halloween candy out for the week of Halloween?
No. And I was like the only person who dressed up. Actually, one other person dressed up.
Huh. We dressed up, but
Like
when
nobody
we did
goes to office.
So like I put Halloween candy out, you know, because it's Halloween. You can have Halloween candy.
Mm-hmm.
I figured out what is the worst candy of the pack. So, like, remember when we did
that episode where we
our ranking of Halloween candy tier list? I've done the data. I've done the research. I got the data.
Hmm.
Are you prepared?
Yes.
Because it's really obvious.
It's Whoppers.
No, it's just plain Hershey bars.
Yeah, nobody likes that. This is garbage. Just, I think we ranked them somewhat high.
I don't think we did.
Let me look.
We'll have to go back. But it was like every like so like I'd put a little out, you know, each day. I wouldn't put the whole bag, and I put them in these little pumpkin bowls or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Then I'd pour them out at the end of the day to see what's left. And like it was always like 7 or 8 Hershey bars.
Okay,
and
where
then
do
maybe,
you
maybe what?
Where do you think you put the Hershey's chocolate bar in the tier list?
God, now I think probably right in the middle.
So what tier did you pick?
What tiers are there?
S, A, B, C, D, F, and Z.
Do I get a point if I get it right?
Yeah, I'll give you a point if you get it right.
Wait, what tiers are there again?
S, A, B, C, D, F, and Z.
Ooh. Wait, F?
Just the regular grade letters with an S at the beginning.
Wait, there's an A, B, C, D, E, F?
No, no E.
Oh, it just goes from D to E, or D to F?
Yeah.
Thinking C or D, but let me think. What should I?
This is for a point.
D.
You put C.
Damn it. That was close.
But me, who actually understands.
But at least I stay
people,
true to myself.
I put F.
But, all right, yeah.
Because I know sense. What candy actually sucks.
But I'm proud of myself that I kind of, in the ballpark, guessed.
Yeah. You did
I'm
guess
not, like,
in
a
the ballpark. Bold-faced
liar.
But can I get a point because you're over in time?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I'm done. All right. Oh, wait. The other worst snack, Jolly Rancher lollipops.
Oh, Alyssa would love those. She's a huge Jolly Rancher fan.
I'm not a Jolly Rancher. Nah. Not
for all right. Me. I'll give you a point if you can guess what color Jolly Rancher Alyssa likes the least.
The purple one.
Yep, you get a point.
Everyone eats the purple. It's like cough syrup.
That's what I eat, though, because they're the ones that are left over. Okay. We're at the halfway mark of the show, and I got a game for you to get some points.
Oh, no.
Because you're always saying, oh, I give you so many points, Anton, because I make all these games that you get to have fun playing. So here you go. Here's your game. This game is called When Did It Launch? iPhone okay. Features. So the way we're going to play this game is there's been 13 iPhones, or at least they're on iPhone 13. So I got 13 different features or products that launched, and you got to tell me what iPhone they were out, what generation of iPhone was out at that time when the mm-hmm. thing launched, or what did it launch with? Like if it's an iPhone feature, what iPhone version launched with that feature.
Okay.
You get the idea, or do you need an example?
Give me an example.
Okay, crap. I wanted to do 13 of these. Okay. What is...
It doesn't have to be an iPhone. You could just maybe replace it with something else.
Sure.
For the example.
Here's the example. What version of iPhone... introduced the triangle cameras on the back.
They have triangle cameras?
Or diagonal. Three? Diagonal. When there's a two camera, that it's diagonal.
Oh. 9.
Maybe it's 9. Shoot. I think, well, the 13 just did it. I didn't do research on that example. I just made it up.
All right.
I don't even think the 9 has two cameras, does it?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I did research on the rest of these. I can hear myself.
Hmm?
I can hear myself.
Oh, sorry. I switched out my headphones.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to do it seamlessly.
Okay. Now
I can hear you.
Okay, great. All right. So 13 features. Let's get started.
All right.
Uh-oh.
No, what's that beeping noise?
Fire alarm's going off.
In the building?
Sounds like they fixed it. They're probably lighting a fire.
It'd be really, really weird if the second segment happened.
Okay. Yeah, it would be. I could climb out the window, though. All right. So, first things up, Retina display. What version of iPhone or what series of iPhone did the Retina display launch with?
Five.
It did not come out with the 5. That's close. And you're going to get a point for any of these that you get right because they're hard. It was the iPhone 4.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, next up. 3G carrier service.
I'm going to say the original was 2G. Wait, right? It was still on 2G, the original.
Yep.
But 3G was still pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the second iPhone.
Okay. I'll give it to you. The title of the iPhone is the iPhone 3G, but it was actually the second iPhone.
Oh, all right.
So you get a point.
Yeah, that counts.
All right. Next one. This iPhone had flat sides, and if you pressed the series, if you pressed in a certain spot, you'd lose a call.
Really?
Yep. It was a whole big issue about it, and Apple had to release a new bumper for free for anybody who wanted it.
I don't remember that happening at all.
Or maybe it wasn't free. Maybe you had to pay for it or complain, but it was a piece of rubber, effectively, that went around the edge and made it so that you couldn't connect the two sides. Basically, this phone introduced putting the antenna in the outer edge of the phone.
Introduce the antenna being put on the outer edge of the phone?
Yep. So they wrapped the antenna, all the different antennas they needed, into the actual structure of the body. They reused the edge of the phone as the antenna.
I'm going to say the iPhone 9.
No, you love the iPhone 9, though. That's the iPhone 4.
Ah.
It had a revolutionary design where it used... the antenna was in the edge. I wonder if that is a fire or somebody's backing up outside.
Probably backing up.
All right. Next up. The first few iPhones had the big, like, 12-pin connector that the iPod originally had. That, like, I don't know if you remember that huge connector. So what was the first phone to include the Lightning connector, which is what we're still using today?
Five.
Yeah, you got it. iPhone 5.
I think that's what I had. Or no, I had the 5C. Or no, the small one.
Yeah, that's the 5C probably.
Up here? No. But yeah, I definitely remember that thing.
Okay. Yeah. And that was also kind of a...
Wow, this is really helping me catch up.
Yeah, it is starting to make you catch up. It's 14 to 15 points now. Maybe I'm giving...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're just giving away points here.
All right, next up, the first phone to include a notch, no home button.
Oh. iPhone 10.
Yep, iPhone 10. Good guess. This was
a 11.
Major form factor revitalization.
Because Tawny, I remember her phone has one, and mine didn't, so I was like, it's probably going to be in between there.
Now, what was the most recent iPhone that was out when the AirPods were released?
The original AirPods?
Original AirPods, very first.
7.
Wow. You know your iPhones.
I just know time.
Okay, well, ma'am, this is a bad game because you're going to get all these.
You really put yourself into a ditch here.
I thought you're going to do badly at this.
I came prepared.
So, next up, when did the flat design of iOS, what phone did that debut on?
What do you mean?
So iOS used to have very skeuomorphic design where all the icons looked very realistic.
Oh, right. Yeah, like I remember those. I had an iPod Touch that was like that.
And it was a big uproar when this happened. Everybody was mad that they said flat design was ugly and they didn't like it. And then everybody came around to it and was like, oh, yeah, this is way better. And it was stupid the way before.
Six.
No, close, though.
Five?
Close.
Four?
5S.
5S, okay. I knew there's something going weird with that. Fives.
I want to keep track of the ones that you got.
If you don't want to give me the 3G iPhone 2 one, I'll understand.
It's fine.
But I didn't say the name of the phone right.
I just want the series of phone, really. And you, right. You got it.
All right.
In the second one. Next up, when did Safari debut on an iPhone?
I would have thought it came out with the original iPhone. But the way that you phrase the question makes it sound like it didn't. But maybe that's a trick. I'm going to say the original iPhone.
Yeah, you got it. It's the original iPhone.
Can't trick me.
Nope. Okay. We're on question 9 of 13. When did wireless charging debut on a phone? All phones still have the connector, but there was a certain generation where you could start charging them with an inductive charger.
iPhone 9?
Nope. You love 9. It's the iPhone 8 series, so iPhone 8 and 8 Plus.
Okay.
What generation of iPhone was out when the Apple Pod, the most recent one that was out when the Apple Watch was debuted?
The Apple Watch is older than I remember it. Like, I feel like it's a new thing, but it has been out for a while. I'm going to say iPhone 5.
No, it's a good guess.
6?
Yep, 6 and 6 Plus generation was okay. Was out when the watch debuted. The App Store, what phone did that come out on?
The original.
Nope. So this was a big 3G? Thing. Yep, iPhone 3G. So when the iPhone first released,
where did you get your apps?
So Steve Jobs came out and said, because everybody's up in arms like, I want to write apps for this. And he said, just make web apps. It's got a browser on it. That's the idea. And it was actually a big thing within Apple. There was a lot of people at Apple that were like, no, we need to make it so you can make apps for this if we want it to be successful. And Steve Jobs was totally against it. Eventually, they convinced him. And now it's this huge mega thing. They get 30% on every sale, even to this day.
Wow.
So that's the App Store on the iPhone 3G. The second iPhone had that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number 12 on the list, the front facing camera.
Four.
Wow. Great work.
Was it?
Yep.
Wow.
iPhone 4 had a lot of, brand new, like it really changed the game, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this is like just like I've only owned two iPhones, and it was like the original SE, which I think came out simultaneously with the 5. I feel like, or that era, 5 or 6 era.
I think it came out after the 5, but used the 5 form factor.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
Like and then this latest one I have is the 11.
Got
but
it.
Like I'm really guessing based on how I think they implemented, like what year like this would have happened.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked to find that it took them to the 4th iPhone to put a front facing camera on it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Too. Yeah, but I'm trying to think because like I feel like anything before that though really wasn't like a big time for selfies or social media, really. Like a lot of the early iPhones were still in the time of flip phones, and like not everyone really had a smart, like I had a BlackBerry till like 2011, and that was like 3 or 4 years after the iPhone came out, I think.
Yeah, came out in 2007. So yeah. All right, last question. When did 5G carrier support? What series did that debut on?
Boy, I should know this because I have the 11. But I feel like it was right after. I'm going to say the 12.
Man, you're good. iPhone 12 series is when 5G came out. All right, so you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You got just over half of these right.
See, when you create games for the show, Anton, you can't. You're too generous with your points.
Well, it's
I just caught up. I was down 3 or 4, right?
Yeah.
And now I'm up 3.
Yeah, but I'm a savvy player of this whole thing.
Boy.
So I'm gonna make a comeback. So that's that segment. When did it launch? What are your thoughts? Is this a segment that should come back?
Yeah, because if you're just gonna give away points, I'll take it.
I'll have to ask the audience and find out if it was fun to play through at home.
All right.
All right. Well, that's it.
All right. Next segment. I'm really looking forward to this one because everyone hates this segment, and I get told this all the time. Which is best worst, where we talk about music no one really wants to listen to, or where all the songs sound the same.
Well, here's the thing.
We don't really talk about it. I mean, it's hard to even talk about audio in the moment because you're like, can't even remember the song.
I've had a lot of people comment on the best and worst Radiohead.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one was received pretty well.
I think if it's something that's like really ingrained in people's like...
If we did the Beatles or something, that would probably be a way to do it.
Yeah. But then I realized, you know, maybe the best approach is to just pick one album and do
that no one's ever heard of that you like to just get us to talk about music.
And so that didn't work. So now we're just going the complete opposite way. And I just picked one of the biggest albums of the year by the biggest pop album star. Probably.
Who's that?
Olivia Rodrigo.
What do you think her net worth is?
$35 million.
I'm going to go with $36 million.
You just jeopardied.
All right. Moment of truth. Who gets the point for guessing the celebrity's net worth closely? I get a point just by asking, actually. And then I get another.
Oh, no. We both went over.
You know, I thought we were kind of high.
$5 million.
Five million. Why write even music if you're only going to make enough money to probably live happily for the rest of your life? Yeah.
But yeah, I guess she's still young, and this was her first album. And also, I mean, I guess she was doing TV. Like
she probably has a bad agent.
Yeah. All right. So no one gets points for that.
I get a point for just asking.
Do you?
Yeah. Check those rules.
All right.
But you can only do it once an episode.
Like only one of us can? Or just, I don't think that's specific.
Oh, I feel like we talked about it. Oh, wait, best and worst. Guess the other person's best celebrity and worst correctly. Oh, wait, no, that I don't know why I just got excited about that. That's totally the wrong thing. That's just the segment we're at. All right, never mind. There doesn't seem to be a rule all right, for that.
Whatever. You get a point. He's already catching up.
Yes.
All right, so let's go to the album. The album is Sour, which came out this year in May 2021. in case if people are listening to this 5 years from now.
They probably will be.
Yeah.
On repeat.
It big on social meds. I feel like it's you know, it's just one of them albums. I think overall, I thought it was a really good album. I feel like it's not, it doesn't sound like overly produced. It doesn't, like, I feel like this could have came out any time in the last 20 years. It even kind of has some of that mid-2000s, like, post-punk nostalgia to it.
Yeah.
And for, like, a pop album to kind of, like, have some choruses with, like, a guitar riff like this, I think is kind of fun. I thought overall for a pop album, it's pretty good. What did you think?
I think it it's exactly what I would expect from a high schooler writing about their life.
Yeah, just the but same. That's like also that's pop, like you're writing for the demographic that your all listeners are going to be. Your demographic is going to be high school girls and me.
That just got broke up. Yeah, you.
High school girls and weird nerdy guys that like music.
Well, she understood her audience very well.
Yeah. So 11 tracks, pretty short album, only 34 minutes.
Yeah.
That's pretty short. That's like half of a War on Drugs album.
Because it's all the ADHD these kids these days have
they
from
can't.
All the social media.
They need medias. To go next. Next. Can't listen to it. Next. So I guess is there any, should we guess off the bat what each other's best and worst is?
Sure.
Before we're talking about it anymore. Because otherwise if we start talking about it, I'll probably, like last time I kind of was able to get the answer from you through talking about it first.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll just guess. So do you want to go first?
Sure. I feel like I have no idea. I'm going to say your favorite is Brutal and your least favorite is Enough for You.
No, you're wrong.
Oh, damn it.
My favorite is Good for You.
Okay.
And my least favorite is Traitor.
Oh, man. We are so good at having the opposite opinions on things.
Well, that's good. You just gave me context clues.
Maybe.
Now.
Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Somebody gonna murder you?
Oh, just come in and charge your phone.
She better be tiptoeing.
She has to charge her phone. Phone charge and break.
Speaking of iPhones, she's got the brand new iPhone 13, right?
I think so.
In case anybody's looking to steal an iPhone 13.
Yeah, I know a really easy target because she just leaves it all around all the time.
In your house?
Yeah, and if you pay me, I'll steal the money. Your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal.
Okay.
Least favorite. One step forward, three steps back.
Nope, you didn't get anything. So my favorite was Traitor.
Really?
Yep. I just thought it was catchy.
Okay.
I don't like the lyrics. I think it sounds really cheesy.
Yeah. I find that the reason why I put it as my worst is I feel like the vocal melody is just really annoying. And, like, it's also, like, a song where it's like, hey, you didn't cheat, but I don't like you.
No, that's what I like about it. It's just so, like, indicative of, like, your opinions in high school. You're just overreacting of, like, you talk to someone else. You're always supposed to talk to me.
Yeah. It's like, look, I don't got enough evidence, but you're a dirtbag in my book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, is that really the definition of traitor?
No. It's kind of like she wanted to let the world know that she's a little bit too clingy.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And immortalize it in this album.
So wait, what was your favorite?
I like Traitor.
And then least favorite.
Was Happier. I just forgot what it even was.
I feel like the second half of the album, or like after Good For You, it really goes pretty slow. Like
oh my gosh,
songs.
I feel like it goes as soon as you get through Brutal.
It's
just
all
like
down. It's
downhill.
Well, I don't know. Good For You is a real dancer.
Oh, I wrote for Good For You like this, still whiny but sarcastic.
Yeah.
So
you should.
That might have been my second
favorite. So there's a Paramore song that everyone like. They
Rainbow
gave,
Connection?
No. They gave Paramore writing credits on Good For You because they were afraid they'd get sued by them because of the chorus sounding very similar.
Oh.
But it was really just a matter of like the same chords and like kind of sounding a little like same feeling. But like when I listen to it, it doesn't sound the same to me. And also, Olivia Rodrigo's is a way better song. Like, it's just like a catchier song. Yeah. And I think everyone likes that chorus for Good For You. I don't know. That's why I like it. We were just in a car.
Yep.
And we were all singing it, except for you.
Oh, really? What was I doing?
I don't know. Remember when you got in the car after pumping gas, and then we all started singing Good For You?
Probably thinking about death.
Oh, all right. Well, good for you. And, you know, Driver's License is a good one of the slower songs.
Yeah, like if you're Brutal. Basic.
I like Brutal's a good song.
Yeah, Brutal's a fun way to kick it off.
Yeah, it's a good opener.
I didn't really listen to the lyrics at the very end of Hope You're Okay, but is that where she's over it and a little bit more mature now?
I think so.
But she's still thinking about him. Which is like, come on, just leave this guy be.
Oh, I just realized Annie Clark of St. Vincent has a writing credit for Deja Vu. Same with Taylor Swift appears to have a credit on that as well.
That's a neat idea. So if you want to get your album noticed,
right, you just
write music, write it similar, copy their music, but then give them writing credit.
And you know
it looks
what?
Like you,
don't elevated. Do any of that. Just make your music and then just be like, you know what? No one's going to buy it anyways. I'll just give this famous person writing credits.
Yeah.
And then people like, oh, their name's on it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Like, can you like, can someone offer you songwriting credits? And then you go, I don't want that.
Yeah, that's a neat
that's your
thought.
Song.
If I make a movie and just give Tom Cruise credit at the end, people are going to be like, whoa, Tom Cruise is involved with this?
I think they can sue you for, like, using their likeness for that instance. But when it's, like, you don't participate in it, but you're giving, like, I don't know. It's like giving someone writing credit or something. I don't know.
Maybe
it's
there's
like,
certain...
I always thought it'd be funny if, like, someone got, like, a bunch of, like, famous cardboard cutouts and then made a movie with just cardboard cutouts and did all the voice acting but the trailer just looks like all these famous people but they're just cardboard cutouts.
That you should make that movie,
but I think you'd get sued for using their likeness.
Yeah, but you'd get publicity
if you can't make money
from it. That's
right.
Fine.
Well, it's kind of like that movie that was shot undercover in Disney World.
I didn't realize that
and
was
like
a movie.
Someone made a horror movie and they shot it kind of like undercover at Disney World. But like, you know, they had to avoid being sued. People love suing each other.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
Driver's License. I remember hearing way back last winter, because there was an SNL sketch about it. And like that song was everywhere. Mm-hmm. So like, I thought that, like, I didn't even know it was like the same thing until I heard it on the album. Or even the same person, but you know, you had said before we recorded that it all sound like every song is about the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
And like, I don't think that's a bad, like, that's like, that's a, like, that's a theme, like, that's a, like, a lot of albums do that. It's like,
doesn't mean it's right to do. Just
so you don't think anyone should ever make a whole album where every song is, like, about the same thing?
Not if they want me to like it.
All right.
I mean, I didn't. I did like this. It's fun. I would probably listen to it if somebody else put it on.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I also think about on Spotify when I'm listening to it, and everybody's like, "Oh, Anton's listening to Sour again." Is he doing all right?
Yeah, but like, I don't go on Spotify. I don't even think we're friends on Spotify.
Oh, yeah. Maybe not, because I set it up through Facebook, and I haven't been back to Facebook since. I'd like to disconnect it from Facebook, if that's possible.
I don't have a Facebook, and they won't even let me get one. Well, anyways, that's Sour by Olivia Rodrigo. The best album I've ever heard in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Until next episode, which the next, and I'll give it, like, we're not gonna do this next week.
Okay.
I actually didn't even pick an album, but it's gonna be good. Oh no, it's gonna be really good, because I think you know, people that know me really well know I'm a huge fan of this band.
Oh, no. Nickelback?
No. Oh. Creed? I don't know if you were in tune to the music scene maybe 10 years ago. But there's a band that just knows how to rock. They know how to party. And it's LMFAO.
Oh, that's a fun band. I feel like they're the kind of band that probably just has one good song on their album, though.
Oh, yeah. what I like about LMFAO is they came out with two albums, and then they disappeared from the world. The first album was called Party Rock, and then their second album is Sorry for Party Rock.
That's amazing.
Never to be seen again. They're done.
Nice start and finish. That's beautiful.
I love LMFAO. One of my guilty pleasures. I love.
Isn't it a guy and his uncle
in the morning while I get? I don't know. It's just two guys that like to party rock.
I think one guy is the other guy's uncle.
So we're gonna listen to their first one. Sorry for Party Rock. Actually, which one would you rather do, Party Rock or Sorry for Party Rock? What would you rather see a band at their humble beginnings or like right when they're about to fade away?
Can we do both?
All right.
I mean, I kind of need to listen to both if they're so related.
I think you need to listen to both to get the whole story of this band.
Yeah. Party Rock. I imagine.
Party Rock and Sorry for Party Rock.
It's a two-part epic.
This is going to be big. This is going to be so huge for all the people that love the best and worst segment.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
I'm looking forward to this.
That's it.
All right. To take us home, our last segment today is...
last segment?
Yeah. We blasted through them.
Wow.
I don't know which segments we did too fast. We're not that far. No, actually, 45 plus 45 is an hour 30. So we're actually, for once, getting pretty close on time.
Oh, yeah. Usually we're like almost pushing it to 2 hours.
We've gone over two, but usually it's like an hour 50. It's because we always talk about how long the show is going for maybe 20 minutes toward the end of the show.
Yeah, we could. So you want to do that?
Yeah. All right. So final segment, Some Guy's Game Guide. One of the original podcasts that you and I had was Some Guy's Game Guide. It was actually the original podcast that we had. Mm-hmm. Then we had two podcasts, and now it's just a segment. To speed things up. So Some Guy's Game Guide is me recommending a video game for you to play. You have to play it for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And then you have to make a call as to whether you would continue to play this game. Because my goal is to try to find games you would like to play. Because I play a lot of games and I want to expose you to a variety of different styles. Mm-hmm. So what game did you play this time?
I played The Witness.
And what's your one sentence summary of your experience playing The Witness?
Let's take one puzzle, copy it 100 times, and then make you walk around and solve the puzzle.
That's a really good description of the game.
But, you know, I guess, so, actually, I don't want to jump ahead of the segment. All right, why don't you just go ahead.
Okay, that was a long sentence that kind of trailed off toward the end.
That was part of it.
All right, so, well, as always, the history of this game, The Witness, is created by Jonathan Blow's company. Jonathan Blow is an indie game developer.
So many jokes about this game and his last name.
Yep.
But I won't.
Well, that's good because we're trying to be positive.
We are.
Yeah. Jonathan Blow is a pretty outspoken game designer. He sees video games as art. He's very open about that. He's somebody who has streamed coding. He's also given a lot of talks online about video games. He's a very interesting person to watch.
Cool.
He was one of the three games featured in the indie game, the movie documentary, which I think can watch on Netflix. Yeah. And in that documentary, they talk about his work on the game Braid, which we played before.
Oh, he made Braid?
Yep.
Okay.
So Braid, he primarily made solo, but I think he got help for the art and music.
Why does that name just sound so new to me? I would have known that name from the Braid episode.
Maybe you just learned all the euphemisms for Blow in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. I just learned about dirty jokes.
You hung out in middle school for a month or something. So his first big game was Braid, released on the Xbox, and it was a huge hit, a surprise hit. Got a lot of people to watch it because of that time travel aspect. Because he loves those like neat mechanics and
I thought those were some pretty cool game mechanics.
He does this quite a bit. He'll come up with a game mechanic and then explore it and prototype it and see if it opens additional doors. Mm-hmm. Like, how far can you stretch this mechanic to get a full game out of it? And he did that with Braid. And then The Witness is really surprising because the Witness is all mazes.
Yeah.
And like you said, you're on an island. It's heavily inspired by Myst, which is a game that we have not played yet, but you often guess.
I assume every game is Myst.
Yeah.
Unless noted otherwise.
Yeah. That's the history. I don't know if you have any questions there.
Nope. Sounds pretty straightforward.
Okay, cool. So why don't you give your review of playing The Witness?
All right. So, I mean, my initial reaction is like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like this walk, like this area. And then when I, you know, it does give you, you know, a satisfying feeling when you figure out a puzzle on your own with no help.
Yeah, it does.
It is pretty satisfying. And then when you start to just apply that, throughout the game and you kind of like, oh, okay. I don't know what really is happening in the game at all.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm solving puzzles and then little things light up and I'm sure there's probably a satisfying ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it kind of goes on with the same, like I mean, each puzzle is different.
Mm-hmm.
And like each, like even series of puzzles are different themed and like you have to match them. Some of them are parallel. You have to kind of go around shapes and colors.
Yep.
Some blend into the background and like it's kind of creative how they kind of add and adapt. Some of it's a little repetitive. And
what's repetitive about it?
Just like you're solving the same style of puzzle.
And how do you solve the puzzles in this game for people who haven't played it?
It's basically just like a little, like, you know, kind of like a maze almost. Kind of like a maze style where you drag a dot through the maze trail of a square and it has to like line up or like get to a certain area for that to be accepted as like the puzzle completed.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the best way I can describe it. I don't know if mm-hmm. you'd describe it some other way.
I would say it's, for those listening, it's a first person game where you walk around with the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And you change your view with the mouse, and there throughout the game there's these panels with mazes on there mm-hmm. that you solve them exactly as you just described.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know what I was saying, but yeah.
Well, I guess what was the vibe that you got from playing it? Did you like the way the island looked or anything?
Yeah, I thought the island looked really cool. It was nice walking around. Sometimes I'd click the wrong button to like, you know, like when you click into a maze
mm-hmm.
you have to click to get out of it sometimes if you can't complete it, but I would end up hitting like escape for some reason and I'd just go to the menu even though I could just right click. I mean, there wasn't really much to do as your first person except for mm-hmm. to go up to the puzzles and solve them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's a nice map, nice landscape. Kind of remind me of, you know, the mini golf VR game I was playing.
Right. It's slightly cartoony graphics.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a nice vibe. Mm-hmm. It's not a stressful game.
Yeah, how did you feel playing it?
I felt, there's a couple puzzles where I just couldn't figure it out. Mm-hmm. I was just like, after a while, on a puzzle that you can't figure out, you start to get really exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like not interested in playing. But when I'm solving puzzles and moving forward, I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like it. It could be easy for me to be critical of nothing really being revealed about the game as you play it, or you don't really know what's going on and it doesn't really instruct you to do anything. But yeah. That's also
which is a great
part
call
of the,
out.
Yeah, but it's also part of, I think, what makes it fun,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I can't really doubt that as like bad, but yeah, no, it's pretty nice walking around, solving puzzles, figuring it out. And I feel like some of them are pretty kind of creatively set up in certain areas and yeah.
Now it's a great call out that it doesn't really give you much instructions other than in like the first 3 seconds of the game, it says click on this and drag to solve yeah. this maze.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point forward, there's not really any instructions telling you what to do, but you were able to make it pretty far in the game without those instructions. So how were you able to get so far?
Well, I feel like it's, nothing's really stopping you. In turn, it's just depends on what puzzles you want to do, and you just keep walking forward. I mean,
but how did you figure out the puzzles without being told how to solve them?
Well, after you do the first one, I mean, I kept wondering when there's going to be an extra element, but then I started doing like a few puzzles, and I walked around to a different area and did a few puzzles. I realized, oh, that's just what the game is: as you move forward on this map.
Mm-hmm.
And you solve these puzzles, and sometimes there'll be doors blocking your way, and the only way to open them is to solve these puzzles. And that's about it.
It's true. So you explored a bit of the island, and I watched you play because you streamed this. I watched you play the second time you streamed it.
Yeah, I streamed it twice. I did an hour and an hour.
And I saw you in places where you caught on to the puzzle and were solving it. And yeah. then I saw you do what happens in the game a lot, where you solved the puzzle, but you didn't understand how you solved it.
Yeah, that
if
was
that
a
makes
couple,
any
that,
sense.
That yeah, that's a good point. There's one where it's like, you know, it has like the kind of the rocks sticking up out of the water, and the puzzle mm-hmm. is transparent, and that applies to like what's in the frame of that puzzle is how you solve the puzzle for it to be correct.
Yep.
So I solved it, and you outline the rocks to get to the end of the puzzle, and it's a correct answer. And I did that twice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get to the third one using that logic.
Yep.
thinking that is how you solve this as well. And it just, nothing worked on that. I don't. And like, I'm sure there's probably an added element. And then the one I took for into account was like, oh, the reflection of the rock. But like, it's also reflecting because it's like running two parallel lines anyways, you know. Nothing I could do to figure that one out. I never ended up figuring that out. I don't get it. Some of them I'm... There's a couple I was just like, I don't know what I did, but it worked.
Okay. I'm going to tell you a pattern. Mm-hmm. And I want you to tell me what is... what the next number in the pattern is, okay?
Okay.
1, 2, 6...
Wait, I don't know, because you went up one.
All right, you,
then you
okay?
Go up four.
Here's I remember how to play this game.
I need more data.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll say 1, 2, and 6 are numbers in this, and you can guess other numbers, and I'll tell you whether they meet the rules or they don't meet the rules, and then you have to tell me what the rule is.
Okay.
If you get the rule right, I'll give you a point.
18.
No.
12.
No.
24.
No.
I don't know. That wouldn't be in that sequence.
Here's another one. 1, 2, 6, 10.
1, 2, 6, 10. 14.
No.
But you go up four, then you go up four again. 20?
No.
24?
No.
28?
No.
I give up. I don't like this game. I never want to play again.
Well, that was a bad example, but the answer is all of those numbers are only three letters long if you spell them out.
I'm going based on the numbers. I'm not going based on how you're spelling them out.
Yeah, this is a bad example, but a different way to play this game is to play it where you have this pattern in your mind and people ask yes or no. All right, here's another one.
Mm-hmm.
2, 4, 8, 16, 32. Ask me a number and then try to guess the rule.
64.
Yes.
You're just doubling it.
No.
Or you're timesing it by 2.
No, it's just even numbers, but I only picked even numbers that are powers of 2.
Oh.
So that's a better example of this. Yeah. This game does that, where you think you know how to solve the maze. Mm-hmm. You think you understand all the rules of the maze, but then you get presented with another maze that actually... maybe void some of your hypotheses about how the maze can be solved. So those first two mazes you solved, you had a pretty good idea of what you thought you were doing.
Yeah.
But there was actually more to it that you didn't realize.
Right.
And that's what a lot of this game is it's giving you hints as to what the rule is for the maze. And then you have to use your... powers of your scientific skills of deduction to mm-hmm. figure out what the rule really is. And you can totally solve the puzzles without knowing the rule, but if you know the rule, you can solve them fast.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so overall, what's your verdict after playing 2 hours of The Witness? Would you continue to play more of this game?
Yeah, like I don't know, like I think I'd almost like to play this on, like, the Switch or, like, a tablet or something I can kind of take around.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I could pick it up and start and stop quick. Like, to feel like to sit down on a desktop and play this for an hour kind of feels mentally exhausting.
Got it.
But I don't think it's a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say yes. But sweet. I can't guarantee that I actually will.
And I don't get a point if I find a game you like because it's not in the rules, unfortunately.
Well, we can make that rule going forward.
Going forward. All right, I'll add it going forward.
Every other game going forward. no, it's a game that does fall in line. I'll give you a point.
So you're going to take advantage of the rule where you can just give me a point for no reason?
Well, I'll just a different rule to give you a point.
All right, sweet.
Because I think in terms of games, and that falls in line with, I guess, games I like, this would probably be one of them that I didn't know of. So
cool. I'm glad I found you a game that you might like.
Yeah, that was a good game.
All right, next game trivia.
All right.
This game has you travel through a series of books to get around.
Is it Myst?
It is Myst.
Is it?
Yep.
Huh.
I'll give you a point for that.
Really?
Yeah, it's Myst.
I've guessed, is it Myst, like 20 times. And it's finally Myst. But now what's my joke answer going to be?
That's why I made it Myst this time.
Because you're tired of me guessing Myst every time?
Yeah.
All right. I played Myst once on like the original PlayStation, and I had no idea what was going on, and I did not play it very long.
Okay.
And that's my only memory of it.
How old were you when you played it?
I mean, when did the original PlayStation come out? 98? I probably got it like a year after, so maybe 99? That's probably 11 or 12.
Okay. Got it. Well, let's see if you, as a 34-year-old, are is smarter than you were when you were 12 and you can get through this game.
Probably about the same.
All right. Well, we'll find out next time when you don't have to do it by the next, maybe within 2 weeks if you play through the through Myst.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's it.
Is that that's the end of the segment?
That's the end of the segment, end of the show.
It's the end of the show? Okay. I guess now what do we do?
We could just record dead air for maybe an hour and put that, upload that.
I don't know if that'll work. I don't think people will like it.
Well, they haven't liked anything else so far.
So I guess it's worth a shot.
Yeah. You don't know until you try. Maybe it takes off.
Yeah. All right. See you next time.
See ya. Bye. Bye.